Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. It's Monday, September the 2nd. Where has August gone? Labor Day. Well, hope you're all listening while you're out barbecuing, weather permitting. I know some areas are getting hit pretty good by rain. I'm looking for a little rain right here in the Blue Ridge Mountains of southwestern Virginia. And we had a great, great weekend of racing because the IndyCar Series was out in the streets of Baltimore for the Grand Prix of Baltimore. We had our correspondent Gil Smith there taking pictures. Hope you all go to the Facebook page and check out the pictures he was posting up for the show. And he'll be going to Richmond this weekend to cover the last race before the chase. That's right. Now there is one. There was two. Down in Atlanta, after Atlanta this weekend, as the points race is starting to tighten up, and those that need to get in only have one more shot at trying to get their way, race their way in before everything is all cut off for the following weekend at Chicagoland, when round one of the chase begins and the top 12 drivers, the top 10 in points, and the two wild cards all start their hunt for the Sprint Cup this year. We'll try to get some guests on next week to preview the upcoming chase, probably miss one of the Miss Sprint Cups. And we'll talk about that there. Of course, the Nationwide Series and the Truck Series were also in action this past weekend, the Truck Series up in Canada for the Canadian Tire at Boris Said's track. This track, I guess he owns up there in Canada, a road course for them. And, of course, Nationwide Series down at Atlanta on Saturday night. Those are Saturday night and Sunday night, due, I guess, to the Labor Day weekend, just like Memorial Day when the Coke 600 run on Sunday night right after the Indy 500 gets done. So there's a lot of racing in a short period of time this past week. And I guess we'll start out with the NASCAR Nationwide Series. And it turned out to be a battle for the end. You have Kyle Busch qualifying on the pole and looking to get points for the Owner's Championship for Joe Gibbs Racing, and Joey Logano in the 22 this weekend to try to get the points for Roger Penske in the Owner's Championship. Sam Hornish is running for the Driver's Championship, and everybody else is fighting their way in. Of course, the big news this week was Friday, the announcement that rookie Nationwide phenom Kyle Larson will be moving to the 42 car next year, probably be in it before the year's out, replacing Juan Pablo Montoya, who after several seasons has only a couple wins under his belt, both on the road courses, and he had a chance to make it to maybe a chance to win the Brickyard 400, where he got caught speeding down pit road and on the last pit stop of the race and kind of ruined his day there. But Kyle Larson will be taking over in the 42 next season. If you want to give your thoughts on that, give me a call at 646-649-1899. And do you think he's ready yet? Of course, or do you think he needs another year in Nationwide for seasoning? Of course, this is his rookie year in that series, so I don't know if Chip Ganassi is bringing him up a little too soon or not. I'd like to see him stay down in the Nationwide Series another year, maybe get a couple wins under his belt. His first few races, he was wrecking cars, and I think he finally figured out how to not wreck cars and finish races. So, but he hasn't won a race yet in the Nationwide Series, and he's got about 10 races or so to do that. So we'll have to see if he's going to pull out a chance at a win this year before he heads on up, or if it's going to go into the Daytona 500 looking for his first win. So can't say it hasn't been done, because Trevor Bayne actually, in one of his first Sprint Cup race at the Daytona 500, pulled the win off a couple of years ago when his teammate in that series, of course, driving for Roush Fenway in the 6 was David Ragan in the UPS, and made the lane change before the start-finish line on the last restart. And they had to wave off the start, and he got sent to the back, and Trevor Bayne was able to get the lead and get pushed towards the win. I think Carl Edwards was the one pushing him across the line. And Bayne was driving the 21 car for the Wood Brothers, giving them another Daytona 500 win, so in their storied career team ownership. So it's not that it can't be done. Does Kyle Larson have the talent to do that? We'll have to wait and see next year when he moves up if he can be a better Sprint Cup driver than he was a Nationwide Series driver. Of course, a lot of fingers are pointed in the booth about whether he's ready or not. Dale Jarrett said that he should be, if he thinks he's ready. Jimmy Johnson didn't have a stellar Nationwide Series career. Neither did Jeff Gordon, went on to the Sprint Cup Series. And maybe not the first year, but a couple years thereafter, I started winning championships and races. So we'll just have to wait and see whether the young kid can move it on up and pick up success where it's not quite getting him yet. So we'll just have to wait and see. Give me a call, 646-649-1899. You're listening to Garage Talk Live on Blog Talk Radio, right here on your PC, or if you can bring it up on your smartphone, I think there's a way to do that. Go to blogtalkradio.com/GarageTalkLive and follow the instructions that they give you, and you should be able to listen. But anyway, in the Nationwide Series race for the Grit Chips 300, Kevin Harvick came back down into the Nationwide Series to pick up the win. He led three times for 132 laps, holding off pole sitter Kyle Busch and Sam Hornish Jr., who was finishing third. Casey Kane came in fourth, and Kyle Larson rounded out the top five. Joey Logano battling for the owner's points, sixth, seventh, Trevor Bayne. Austin Dillon, eighth, Reagan Smith, ninth. Brian Scott came in tenth. And that's how the top 10 finished. That being said, there were four cautions for 20 laps. It took 2 hours and 8 minutes. An average speed of 140.7. Margin of victory, a half second. Four cautions for 20 laps and 11 lead changes among seven drivers. So that was a pretty entertaining race, and most of it came down. You didn't know whether it was going to be Kyle Busch or Harvick, but of course, bonus points for the most laps led didn't go to any Nationwide regular, so that kind of relegated it to a non-existent status. As far as the points battle is concerned, Sam Hornish Jr. maintains a 10-point lead over Austin Dillon. He wasn't running all that well in the race, but he came back strong to wind up third, of course, passing a bunch of cars, trying to follow, I guess, Kyle Busch through to try to get to the front. But Hornish, in his quest for a NASCAR championship in the Nationwide Series, still holding down the top spot. And with Austin Dillon in second, Elliott Sadler's third, he's 26 points back. Reagan Smith, 29 back. Justin Allgaier is 47 back in Brian Vickers is sixth at 52 back. Kyle Larson and Brian Scott are 67 back. And in seventh and eighth, Trevor Bayne in ninth is 71 back. And rounding out the top 10 in points is Parker Kligerman. He's 118 back from the leader. So right now it's a pretty tight battle with anything that possibly could happen going into Richmond, which is a short track next weekend. It should be interesting to see what happens in that race. Because Hornish had some problems running in Richmond last time, and it wound up costing them the points lead, and took them a little bit while to get it back from Reagan Smith, and then he lost it again not too long ago, so to Austin Dillon, and then he reclaimed it back on the road, a couple of road courses they ran. So whether he can hold it or not, can he drive to do the job, or is he trying to race not to lose that points lead? And to me, that wouldn't be the way to go. So give me a call. Tell me what you think. And the number is 646-649-1899. And we can actually, if you want to call, talk about anything that happened over the weekend. That's the number to call. You can get right through because we can take a lot of calls here on Blog Talk Radio. And just that when we pick up the phone and say you're on the air, just give us your name and town, and you'll be on the air. And if the number keeps ringing and you're in the host queue, just wait till we get to you, because we can put you right in as soon as we get done with the other call. And so everybody gets a chance. So anyway, talking about the Kevin Harvick winning, here's a bit of the press conference with Kevin Harvick, Richard Childress, and Ernie Cope from Saturday night's race. So you'll get to hear the winners and the whole winning team.
With our winning team's press conference from tonight's Great Clips Grit Chips 300 here at Atlanta Motor Speedway, we welcome our winning driver, Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 33 Bad Boy Buggy Chevrolet. This is Kevin's 40th victory in 297 NASCAR Nationwide Series races, first victory of 2013, second victory here at Atlanta Motor Speedway in the Nationwide Series. Talk a little bit about that race out there tonight.
Yeah, just our Bad Boy Buggy Chevrolet was just really good. You know, there at the end we were a touch too tight, but we're in control of the race on the restart and able to control the bottom and you know, do what we needed to do. So had a great car on long runs. It took us, you know, 5 or 6 laps to get going, but all in all, it was a good enough pace to be able to hold them off, and kind of makes up for last year. So we knew that you know, we had a good car after practice and didn't qualify well, and I was a little bit, I think everybody was a little bit frustrated, but in the end, it didn't really matter.
Joining Kevin, crew chief Ernie Cope led 132 laps of the 195. Talk a little bit about your strategy tonight for the race.
Oh, we just, we're going to make sure we had a set of tires at the end. We talked about that and the whole water bottle deal. Last year, we got caught without one. We're going to make sure we're the last to pit every time if we're leading, and we stuck to that, and it all worked out.
Also joining us on the Richard Childress, talk a little bit about what this victory means to you being up here with Ernie and Kevin here tonight.
I mean, it was a great win, especially Bad Boy Buggies were here and all of our friends there were here with their families. You know, the pit crew did a great job. The win was right there at the end when Kevin got in and out of the box so good, and the pit crew did their job, and I was really proud of everybody. Everyone did a great job tonight.
There you have the three Your winner, Kevin Harvick, his crew chief, Ernie Cope, and car owner, Richard Childress. And second place finisher, Kyle Busch, when he made it into the press conference talking about his car. And then this is what he had to say about that finishing.
It was about a third place car. It was going to run behind a 33 and a 22. But there the last for the last restart with seven to go or whatever, we even made changes to free up our race car, and it just wasn't enough. You know, it was just too tight even there to make any runs on the outside of Kevin. I had one run on him through one and two, and he blocked me up to the fence, so I had to lift, so I didn't wreck. But yeah, that's that is what it is. It's just racing, I guess. That's what they call it.
And of course, Kyle talked about where he made a mistake, and this is what he had to say.
I essentially screwed up. I probably, if I would have went to the middle again, I probably could have made ground on him and then tried something in three. But you live and you learn from them all.
Of course, Sam Hornish Jr. finishing third. His problem about getting to the front, and then we'll have what he has to say as far as going into the final nine races of the season. So why Sam Hornish Jr. couldn't make it all the way to the front until towards the end is what he had to say.
Yeah, every time we got, you know, a long ways throughout the run, we'd get kind of stuck behind some people and the car would free up a little bit. And I could make passes, but it was just going to take me a long time to get there. And one of the restarts earlier in the race, we got kind of shuffled out and had to work our way back.
And, of course, going into the final nine races of the season, where he needs to stay on top of the board, this is what he had to say. I guess we have a little problem with that audio clip. Anyway, of course, the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series running for the Chevrolet Silverado 250 at the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park in Bowmanville. It was a 2.5-mile road course. Trucks get a lot of road work this year, and with the youngster taking the checkered flag, qualified fourth, driving in the number 94 Aaron's Dream Machine, HendrickCars.com Chevrolet, 17-year-old Chase Elliott, son of NASCAR Sprint Cup champion Bill Elliott, wound up taking home the checkered flag. And being it was a standalone race, I guess there are no cup guys in to steal all the points. So he wound up leading twice for 22 laps. His biggest competition throughout the day was Ty Dillon in the three truck, who led twice for 25 laps. It was a 64-lap race. It took an hour, 48 minutes, and 49 seconds to complete. Average speed is 86.7 miles an hour, and the margin of victory was under the yellow, so the yellow must have came out with after the white flag, which pretty much locks it up due to the amount of laps run on Sunday afternoon. It was kind of tough catching between that, the truck race and the IndyCar race out in Baltimore, and being we had coverage of Baltimore, I decided to go with that one. I did wind up watching the truck race later, thank God for DVR. But driving the 51 truck for Kyle Busch Motorsports was Chad Hackenbrecht. Came home second, Miguel Peluto. Finishing third, Darrell Wallace Jr. Here's another guy you got to watch out for. Also driving for Kyle Busch Motorsports in the old 54 truck. He came home fourth. Ron Hornaday Jr. fifth. Max Pappas came home sixth. A little incident with Max after the race. Some woman came up and smacked him across the face for some strange reason, dislocated his jaw. I don't know what happened, but either it was a disgruntled Pappas fan and voicing her displeasure or what, but poor Max had some injury issues, not on the track and not by another driver. So I don't know. I thought Canadians were nice people. They didn't lose their temper like that, unless they're on the ice playing hockey, and I've seen enough hockey fights to know that. But poor Max wasn't asking for that. He only runs a few races a year, and got clubbed by some lady that for no reason. But he did manage a sixth-place finish. I guess somebody felt he should have done better. But he's not running for points, so he didn't get any. And, you know, there's not much you can do about that. Seventh was Ross Chastain back in the 19 truck owned by Brad Keselowski. Of course, his teammate Ryan Blaney, who ran well before that last weekend, so... So Ross back in the thing with a nice seventh place finish. He's doing pretty good. He was a former guest on the show. Maybe we can get him back. Got to get busy booking some guests for next week anyway, because next week after the start of the – it'll be the start of the chase coming up, going into the chase. So we'll have to see what happens. Timothy Peters wound up with an eighth place finish. James Butcher – I mean Butcher. Butcher – was ninth. Matt Crafton wound up 10th. Former guest, let's see if we can get her back on the show in the Truck Series. Jennifer Jo Cobb did make the race and actually finished 23rd, making 52 of the 64 laps. So she ran pretty good. She was... She finished the race, of course, just wound up twelve laps down. So, but when you run a limited funding, you do the best you can. And those are the inaugural Chevy Silverado 250 for the first win for Elliott. It's his first Camping World Truck Series win. So, what a way to make your winning the first race ever at a track, being and doing it at such a young age for your first win. On the road, no less. Of course, young Chase probably grew up driving ovals, so... It's just something how road course ringers pretty much don't really do it. Anybody can win on the road these days as long as the equipment's good and you've got a chance playing the right strategy and position. You wound up in the right spot towards the end of the race. You'll wind up winning. There were seven lead changes amongst six drivers and five cautions for 11 laps. Of course, Elliott leading the last lap, led from the third lap to about lap 23 and I guess taking the lead on lap 63 till the caution came back out on the last lap to seal the deal. So who knows? As far as the points go for the Truck Series, it's still Matt Crafton with the 47-point lead over James Buescher. Ty Dillon is 63 back. They'll be making the move to the Nationwide Series next year, probably taking over the three car that older brother Austin's driving because Austin's moving on to the Cup Series, which will bring the return of the three back to the Sprint Cup field, last driven by Dale Earnhardt on the 2001 Daytona 500, where he was killed tragically on the last lap crash. Probably young fans now think that's more NASCAR history rather than living through watching it like some of the older fans like myself did. So it's restoring number three back to the series, and we'll see how that goes from there. Jeb Burton, another young rookie who we've had on the show, wound up his fourth in the points, 65 back. So he's still not out of it yet. There's only 25 races left. So in the schedule. So this was race 14. We're looking at another 11 races. He can make up a lot of ground if he can finish ahead of Ty Dillon, and he could probably catch Dillon and Buescher because he's only 22 points behind Buescher. So he could probably get up to second in points in his rookie season. Another rookie, Miguel Paluto, is fifth in the points. Timothy Peters is sixth. Rookie Ryan Blaney's seventh. Eighth, Brendan Gaughan, the veteran. And ninth is Darrell Wallace Jr. He's about 106 points out. That's kind of a stretch, the way that a Truck Series runs. As competitive as it is still a big gap to make up the way the series has gone this year so far. And rounding out the top 10 in points, Johnny Sauter, who is a former champ. So now that's out of the way, give us a call. The number is 646-649-1899. Looking forward to your calls here on Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and we'd like to hear what you have to say. Have a little thunderstorm come through, so my computer's acting up, so. But anyway, to the Indy event, I was watching that race, and it looked like a fun one that seemed to be anytime you run on the streets of anywhere, let alone a full-blown road course, that you can have all sorts of things happen to you on the way, and those watching that race last night, I couldn't tell who was going to win. Seemed to be that whoever was leading had to come in for pits. Of course, the big thing of the day was Scotty Dixon qualifying from the pole. He has another pole to his belt and wound up having some problems with Will Power later on in the race. So just one of those things that
you know, I can't understand what happened. It seemed like that willpower cut in front of him while trying to make a pass on Sebastian Bourdais to take the lead, and wound up crunching Dixon into the wall, and didn't look all that accidental. But you know, you don't have spotters in the IndyCar series, and sitting on top of buildings where you know, going around Oriole Park at Camden Yards through the Inner Harbor there. It was kind of an interesting race, but there was this one turn where they would get bound up, and there was about three consecutive cautions happened at this one part of the track. And third race there since they started, they are under discussion whether to bring that one back, but I think it's a fun race. The IndyCar series ought to go back there. But the winning driver was Simon Pagenaud, wound up taking the lead from Sebastian Bourdais. And then, of course, Joseph Newgarden, driver for Sarah Fisher Racing. Newgarden out of Nashville, Tennessee, not kind of an area where you think IndyCar drivers come from. You would think that. You would think that that's more NASCAR country, but it was a podium finish for him, and a good boost for Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing. Of course, Sarah Fisher was a driver herself before she left the cockpit to go start a family. I used to have her back on Garage Talk Live when I was broadcasting out of the Philly area. She'd come on every year. She won a pole for a major race, first woman to win a pole in a major series. Of course, that was eclipsed by Danica Patrick, and then Danica was the first woman to win a race in a major series out in Twin Motegi, Japan, or Twin Ring Motegi in Japan, a race that nobody saw because it was on in the middle of the night. But she does have the win under her belt and took those credentials with her to NASCAR, where we all know what's happening there, all you Danica fans out there. But Sarah Fisher was one of the young lady drivers who was having a modicum of, well, didn't have great success, but she didn't have great equipment either. So if she had great equipment, who knows? But she owns the car that finished second. As an owner, she's only been in doing this like 3-4 years now. So with trying to get funding and all that, it's she's kind of, this helps her cause. So if she can start getting more finishes. Of course, Ed Carpenter drove for her last year. He went to his own team. It's hard to get some consistency without somebody who's going to stay with you for the long haul, but such is the case. But Newgarden, young kid, wound up finishing second. Third place, Sebastian Bourdais, the guy who led a good bit of the race. He thought he got cut off by Pagenaud. But, you know, when you have an open-wheel car and couple of French guys, who knows, maybe they're crying in front of each other, but that's what happened. He wound up third as a podium finish, but he probably thought he should have won it, but that's racing. Fourth was Justin Wilson. A good run for the fifth place finisher, Simona DiSilvestro, who we had on the show a few weeks ago, and she started 17th, fought her way back to the fifth spot, battling her teammate most of the way, Tony Kanaan, until he wrecked. They were down running around 10th and 11th and pitting the same time, and she wound up getting around him and a few others and took home the fifth spot. Sixth was our IndyCar guest from
2 weeks ago, Charlie Kimball. He wound up coming home six. He had a few incidents as well, just like at Sonoma. It seemed like every crash had happened right in front of him, but he was able to save the car and not get involved, and wound up making it all the way to the finish, completing all 75 laps, and coming home sixth. Seventh was driver of the GoDaddy number 27, James Hinchcliffe. He had some scrubs in the wall. There was one little area in the track where they called the chicane. They had some barrels up, and then they had some curbing, and they had a snake through them. Everybody was hitting the curbs and getting a little airborne. I'm surprised nobody blew a tire there, but in practice and qualifying, there were a couple of incidents or cars got wrecked doing that. But Hinchcliffe did wind up finishing on the lead lap as well. Eighth in seventh place, Sebastian Saavedra wound up eighth. Ninth was the current points leader, Helio Castroneves. And 10th was Marco Andretti. So a good day for the only lady in the field, and she's been running rather well since we've had her on the show. Fancy that. So, but it's good to see her do well, and Charlie Kimball, of course, our other guest. And next time they'll be racing will be October in Houston. And that's race one. So apparently they're running a doubleheader there, kind of like they did earlier this year in Detroit. So we'll have to wait and see. The race took 2 hours and 16 minutes. The average speed was 67.2 miles an hour. There were six lead changes. And amongst six drivers, so each person, of course, a couple of guys, Bourdais led twice, so there were more than six lead changes, two, three, four, five, seven lead changes, 25 caution laps, and the fastest lap was, believe it or not, lap 8 at 91.867 miles an hour by Sebastian Bourdais. So it was a pretty interesting road race out in Baltimore. I was hoping Gil Smith would have been able to call in, but his daughter's gone away, so we'll have to get him in next weekend after the Richmond race. Because he'll be there covering it for us. So check out our Facebook page, and we'll have some awesome picks up from that as well. On to I guess this, we have the IndyCar, the Sprint Cup race. One race to go before we head to Richmond for the last race, the wild card, and now we're making our picks. So let's see. Turned out to be an interesting race. A bunch of guys leading multiple laps. The biggest lap leader was Carl Edwards early on, but he was he didn't run so well. He had some problems. Wound up a lap down. Jimmy Johnson having some problems, getting hit from behind. Casey Kane getting hit by Jeff Burton into Jimmy Johnson, wound up busting a radiator, having to go to the garage for a long period of time. I think he finally got it back out. It was a bad day for a lot of the points leaders. Clint Bowyer was leading, blew up. I mean, they were trying something different. Denny Hamlin had problems as well. He had... It just seemed like whoever needed to have a good day really didn't, and the one that, I guess you can't say didn't, but a lot of the guys that are clinching points are trying, clinched into the chase, were trying new things. Of course, Hamlin's motor and was one of those ones that was an experimental one, but they changed that out. They went back to the traditional one, but Clinton Bowyer had the experimental motor as well. Made a lot of power. He was leading a lot of laps, running away from people, and all of a sudden went up in a cloud of smoke while in the lead. Of course, last weekend at Bristol, Clint had run into, got into a wreck with a lap traffic while leading, and he's had a rough 2 weeks, but he's entrenched second in the points, I think. Let me take a quick look. Yep, still, but he had managed to close the gap on Jimmy. And at one point, he was actually the points leader until that engine let go. So while he was leading and had a good lead where Jimmy Johnson was back in the pack after his problems, because Jimmy wound up finishing 28th, there's that points deficit that Bowyer made up. Bowyer wound up finishing 39th. 11 points behind Johnson, 11 positions behind Johnson, and it's a point per position. Do the math. And not that it would have mattered, because everything resets when we go into the chase, but still, it's saying you're the points leader going into that last race gives you some incentive. But the guy who wound up going through it all had a great day there. Everybody's favorite, Kyle Busch, wound up taking the checker flag and almost ran down and had it. If he could have got going on a restart, Joey Logano also had another fast car. He led a lot of laps as well. Of course, he led, Joey led the most laps. He led 10 more than Edwards. And it looked like it was going to be a good day for him. Actually, a good weekend for him because he wound up running pretty good in the nationwide race and, of course, finishing second here in the Cup race. Martin Truex, who suffered a broken wrist in Bristol last week, managed to bring it home third. Complained about his cast melting but because of the heat, but they said he had a conventional cast and should have went to a carbon fiber one. Fourth place finisher, Kurt Busch. Still trying to get it done and get into that chase. He's only got to finish in the 10th spot because he does not have wild card eligibility. So he's trying to drive his way in, having good finishes, and he's got one more week to do it. In the 5th spot, Ryan Newman, who's been running well after. He's been given notice that he will not be returning to Stuart Haas. The thing about it is they said they weren't going to have a fourth car team when they and then they wind up signing Kurt Busch to drive for them next year. But there's rumor has it that Newman's got a job lined up, so we'll have to wait for the announcement on that. Jeff Gordon, sixth place finish. It's not going to look good for him in the chase this year. So he's going to have to race the end of the year for glory. Same with Juan Pablo Montoya starting third. He led a bit too, then the car went away, finishing seventh. Dale Jr. wound up in the eighth place spot. He's seventh in points right now, so we'll have to see. If he's not locked in, he needs one more race. And, well, doesn't matter until next week, but he'll make the chase anyway. Let's say it's a really, really bad day next week. Ninth, Kevin Harvick. Tenth, Brian Vickers and the Aaron's Dream Machine. Starting to look pretty good in that car. Knowing he's going to be in there full-time next year, replacing Mark Martin. Of course, Martin amicably released from his duties at Michael Waltrip Racing to go drive the 14 for Tony Stewart while he recovers from his broken leg. So silly season starts early, and we're not through with it yet. Of course, all you Danica fans out there, finished 21st, two laps down, started 21st. So seemed to hold their own for maintained position, didn't gain any, didn't lose any. So a normal day for her. Defending Sprint Cup champion who is on the outside of the chase looking in, Brad Keselowski. Needed a good run or a win this week because it'll to take the heat off for next weekend, and his motor let go. So as far as expired engines, Hamlin had a problem. Clint Bowyer had a problem. Casey Kane was back running after getting banged up. And Brad Keselowski all had engine problems. And it's something, you, if you're fighting for that last chase spot, it's not waiting to get down to the last race, but having to come down to the last race of the regular season is going to be rough. That the race took 3 hours, 42 minutes, the average speed 135. Margin of victory, 3/4 of a second, 9 cautions for 47 laps. A lot of lead changes, 28 lead changes amongst 13 drivers. As we're heading down to the points, Jimmy Johnson still holds a top spot considering a couple of bad weeks, but after last week when Clint Bowyer cut it in half, moved nowhere after blowing up and finishing behind Johnson. Harvick's still in the third spot. He's 42 back. Gained some ground this week, but he might be too far out of it. We'll have to see when the seeding comes. Right now, as it stands, you have Matt Kenseth, who has 5 wins on the year, will claim the top seed. Jimmy Johnson will claim the second seed because he's the points leader now with 4 wins. Moving up to the third seed will be Kyle Busch after his win because he's 5th in points, but he has 4 wins. And then you have Harvick, who will wind up in the 4th spot with 2 wins because he's in 3rd in points. And Casey Kane has, and Joey Logano, who has a win. He'll be in the 5th because he's ahead of, actually, Carl Edwards will be 5th, and then it'll be Logano. Kurt Busch right now in the 10th spot with no wins, needs to finish the way he did this week because in 9th spot with no wins, actually has 1 win, is Greg Biffle, but he can overtake the Biff in points in 9th spot, which will pretty much secure him. But we're going to go to the wild card rundown and show you how that's going right now. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pull that info up. And right now, Casey Kane is in the wild card lead with 2 wins. Martin Truex the 2nd. Ryan Newman is 3rd, and then after that, it could be anybody's guess, but it's going to probably come down to Kane and Truex, depending on where Truex winds up in the top 10 in points. Let's see where Martin's at now. He's still in 13, so he's so Kane will be moving up to the 11th spot. Truex will move up to the 12th and probably be your 2 wild card guys. Ryan Newman is right behind Truex, and he has a win, too, in the Brickyard. So this could be interesting. And Newman is only 5 points behind Truex, so that part isn't locked up yet. Boy, it's going to be crazy next weekend to see who's going to do what to get where, because I'll tell you, it's coming down to being really, really, really crazy. You got about 10 minutes to give us a call if you want. 646-649-1899. And let's hear from our winner last night in the race. That's Kyle Busch and what his team had to do to get to victory lane.
Started a little ugly, and I was a little ill on the radio, I'm sure, but, you know, I can't say enough about Dave Rogers right here and the team that he's assembled around us. I think if you can pin a championship night on one race, or a championship on one night in a race, I think tonight was the night. You know, we certainly had a lot to do and a lot to overcome, and I think that Dave and these guys stuck with me, you know, for as bad as I may have been talking, you know, they certainly never gave up. They kept going to work and trying to figure things out for me and make my life a little easier behind the wheel, although Atlanta's always never easy.
And then Kyle says the sport can be humbling, and here's why.
It was just everything, every week, there was something new, and it. I tell you what, it's a humbling sport. You look at last year's champion and what he's going through right now. I mean, it's the same scenario. Just you've got to be able to take the highs and the lows, and certainly I am not very good at taking the lows. I'll admit it. I'll be the first to admit it. But, you know, when the highs come your way, you know, you got to treasure them because you never know how many more that you'll get. But tonight was a fun night.
Of course, Kyle Busch, in a situation a few years back where he won a lot during the regular season when chase time came around, he folded up like a clam, and it was another title for Jimmy Johnson. Everybody thought Kyle was going to be the man to run away with it. He had quite a few wins during the season, but when chase time came, Kyle did not have a good chase and faded early, and Jimmy Johnson wound up winning another title. I think it was might have been Johnson's third win, third in a row. But don't quote me on that. I don't have the data right in front of me to bring that up. But he has been there, had a good regular season, and didn't have a problem to chase. Anybody want to give me a call and refresh my memory so I don't go look it up? 646-649-1899. Of course, Joey Logano, who knows? He's starting to run well. His car's finishing better. He might be able to pull it off in the chase at the time he's running to give Roger Penske a second consecutive championship, because as rough a time as Keselowski's having, Joey's starting to peak. So this was Joey talking about his car.
My guys did a great job. They gave me an awesome show, Penzo 4, today. The only thing I would change about it is it being better the first six laps of a run. After that, the thing was a rocket ship.
And it was. And if he had about 10 more laps, he might have caught Kyle Busch and passed him, but just wasn't the case. He said, and he had trouble on restarts as well. So, I mean, every time he restarted, he would wound up getting passed on either side and would have to fight his way back. And that's kind of what happened. Of course, Joey talked about his teammate having a rough day.
It's obviously really tough for Brad tonight. I don't know exactly what happened to his motor, but those are things you can't afford to happen when you're in the positions that both of our cars were in.
I know Joey was probably sweating that, oh, Brad's motor went bad. I hope mine doesn't go bad, but it seems that when Stewart won his championship, he had an off year. Of course, Carl Edwards, who battled Stewart for that championship, finished tied in points, but the number of wins gave it to Stewart. He had an off year, and he was fighting his way back. Last year, Keselowski and Johnson battling it down to the wire. Of course, we all know what happened there. We came down to the last race. Johnson had problems. Brad didn't. Brad got the title. But Jimmy Johnson, true to form, is consistent this year. Even had a, even though he had a couple of bad races, a bad race, especially one this week, he's still at the top of the points, still has four wins on, under his belt, and still will start off the chase in a good position. Who knows, if Johnson wins at Richmond next week, he could reclaim the top seed again. So it's one of those deals where anything can happen. Of course, going into Richmond, you know, last April it was Juan Montoya's race to win, and then he came down with a pit, took four tires. Other guys took two. He wound up back in the pack and had to fight his way back because there was some overtime going on, and he wound up being Kevin Harvick the winner. And Clint Bowyer and Joe finished second. Joey Logano finished third. I was at that race, and you thought Montoya was actually going to get his win on an oval. Had he won that race, who knows? He might have a job next year because he hasn't run as well from that race till about the time where he found out he wasn't going to be driving for his old buddy Chip Ganassi anymore a couple weeks ago, and he's been running pretty good since then. So I don't know why it happens the way it happens, but it sure does. And it's going to be kind of interesting who to pick for that because, you know, this is the second race at the track with the Gen 6 car. You know, last time it was nine races in. They were still figuring stuff out. So we'll have to see what's going to happen there. Gil Smith will be covering the race for us, and we're going to have to get his take on both weekends, being IndyCarring back till October, so we'll get his take on the Indy race as well. I haven't had a chance to talk with him yet because he's got social functions, but next weekend he'll be getting back from Richmond and we'll see what's going to happen there and going into the chase. So a lot of stuff to talk about, and we'll see how it goes. Right now, who am I leaning towards the next weekend? I don't know. Right now, you could, I don't know whether to go Chevy, Ford, or Toyota. Just because I pick one, I've been doing too good on my picks this year, but you get lucky once in a while. Based on what I could tell, I'm going to see what happens. I don't know. I'm going to go with the 15. He had a good run this weekend. He ran good there in April. So his car's running good. If it doesn't blow up, I'll tell you what. If it doesn't blow up, Clint Bowyer is going to be my pick to win the race this weekend. I'll go post my picks on Facebook or Garage Talk Live's Facebook page. If you haven't gone there, go ahead and like us. And, you know, you can always post stuff on there, your thoughts as well. You don't have to wait for me to, or Tammy or Kyle or one of the other to put stuff up. You're always welcome to post stuff on the Garage Talk Live Facebook page to share the info. So, anyway, it's about that time. I'd like to thank you all for joining me. I guess we'll see you all next week to preview the chase. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Thank you for joining me. Good night and good racing.